broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No Doubt continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September 24th in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is hour two of two, and the goal always remains the same: to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founders. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, and the checks and balances inspired by the Almighty, put in place by the founders as our solutions to restore the republic. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, No Doubt. Isn't it about time? All right, welcome to the broadcast. Hope you enjoyed last hour. We did a recap of the news the networks refused to use for yesterday's show. Sam then launches into a monologue and gives Trump credit on tax policy and on his economic restoration plan to make America number one again. The power to tax is the power to destroy, folks. Never forget that. Governments all across the country are trying to raise taxes at every level. That's why it's so important that we work on a lowering taxes plan. We got to have less regulation and less taxes in America, big time. They're absolutely putting a tourniquet on the economy. It's going to choke this nation out of existence if we're not very careful. Anyway, callers round out the hour with common sense. Thanks all of you for chiming in for that. If you want to chime into the conversation, 866-986-NEWS is the way to get it done. I'll pay for the call. 866-986-6397 or 866-986-NEWS. Now, Kurt Crosby is not with me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm all by myself today, so when I take your calls, I might even have to have a little bit of pause while I get your call on the air, unless you call me on one of the breaks, which is the smartest thing to do. I'd love for the lines just to light up, and I'll put you on hold on the breaks, and we'll get to all your calls. Just knock them down like dominoes. We'll get it done. But Kurt Crosby, ladies and gentlemen, is in a better place. He is not with me today. He will be back tomorrow. By the way, Sheriff Richard Mack will be with us tomorrow as well. I'll have two guests, Kurt. I shouldn't say two guests, a co-host and Sheriff Mack tomorrow. But where is Kurt Crosby? My response is the following. Congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Kurt Crosby are celebrating their 34th wedding anniversary today. So he's not on the radio. He's doing what he ought to do. He's with his lovely wife. They're celebrating their 34th wedding anniversary. Now, if that's not a legacy, I don't know what is. What an example to follow for their 11 children. That's right. I said 11 children. Most of those 11 children are married also, or a significant number are married. What a legacy to give them. You know what? Mom and Dad are still in love. Mom and Dad still respect each other. Mom and Dad still want to be together 34 years and running. And I commend them for their efforts. So a big shout-out congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Kurt Crosby. Congratulations to you for a job well done as you celebrate the 34th year wedding anniversary. And so that's where Kurt is. He's got a legitimate reason for not being on the radio. He doesn't miss many shows. And usually it's sometimes some people come in for work that he's got to take care of. Once in a while he's traveling for a family event. And he does miss a couple of times a year when they celebrate their marriage. And I commend their efforts and recommend their example to you. All right, there's a new poll out. It says 72% of Americans say the country is not as great as it once was. I'm going to say that again. 72% of Americans say that America is not as great as it once was. Now, can I just be like, duh, they really got to spend money on a poll to figure this out? I could have walked down on the street and talked to 10 people and come back and say, man, 7 out of 10 people say that America is not as good as it once was. I could have told you that without doing any kind of a poll that most Americans believe America is starting to fall off a cliff on a variety of things, morally, economically, the list goes on and on. 72% of Americans believe that America is not as great as it once was. I believe that. Do you believe that? That America is not as great as it once was? However, I want to throw a caveat on there because it sounds very negative. I believe in a lot of ways we're not as great of a country. When it comes to liberties, when it comes to obedience to God's laws, when it comes to the checks and balances put in place by the founders and the restriction of government, when it comes to we don't seek for power, but we seek to pull it down ideas, I believe that we've lost a lot of ground and America's not as good as it once was. I agree with that. However, I don't want to really focus on that too much because rather than spending time on how horrible America is, I'd rather spend time talking about America's brilliance, America's genius, America's blessings, and most importantly, America's opportunities and how you and your family can fit into that as we learn from the past and look forward to the future. See, that's what I would like to see America known for. That's what I like to see America take to heart. When I say America, I really mean the Americans in America. See, America is not as good as it once was. I agree. On many fronts, it's sad. However, there's a lot of ways we're better than we were. Let me give you an example. We have a lot of racial tension in America. We really do. However, I don't believe that racism is what the mainstream press wants you to believe that it is. Okay, is there racism? Absolutely. Is it wrong? Absolutely. However, we don't understand the term racism, and we want to use that term to beat people into submission for whatever political agenda we want to promote at the time. And it's wrong, and we misuse the term. What is really a racist, for instance? Is a racist someone who believes that the best man should get the job, the most qualified person should get the job, and race should not be a factor in that discussion? Is that guy a racist? Or is the person who wants special privilege or quotas or et cetera to make sure that, well, somebody who may not be as qualified but deserves a chance, you know, hasn't had opportunity before, so deserves a special privilege chance, deserves the lever of government pulled in their favor, is that a racist view? See, I submit to you the latter is a racist view, the former is not. But the mainstream press would tell you that I'm a racist for even suggesting that. So we've got a lot of polarizing issues in America, but I submit to you that racial tensions and the opportunities for those of other races rather than white, in other words, Latinos, blacks, et cetera, they have had greater treatment by America than any other country, bar none. They have had more opportunity in America, regardless of our past mistakes, more so than any other nation on the planet. America has been good to minorities. America has been good for immigrants ever since its inception. Are there problems? Absolutely. Are there points in the past that we can point to where we say, man, that was a bad idea, the way we treated the African Americans? Without question. The way we treated they would say Indians, but I don't think they're Indian at all. They don't come from India. The Native Americans in America, those who were here when the white man came, so to speak, a treatment to them in the past was atrocious. I agree with those points, but those points cannot eclipse the greater point, which is America has done more for those people than anywhere else in the world. And America could do more if we would set aside the past, have forgiveness in our hearts, and come together as Americans, and borrow a term from Barack Obama, yes, we can. We can get past all this. But the mainstream press is too bent on dividing us, too bent on pointing out these disparities, pointing out these wrongs that are clearly mistakes, and never giving us the chance to repent or change from our past. Okay, I'm not at all defending racism. I'm not all defending, look, all men are created equal, says the Declaration of Independence, and I agree with that, and we ought to have the law look at all men as equal. And men mean mankind, folks. Don't let men and women divide you in the feminist movement. Men means mankind. Male and female created them, mankind, right? Okay, that's what we're talking about. And so I feel bad about the mistakes America's made in the past, but I will not let that guilt that they want to place on me eclipse the truth. I'm not guilty. I, Sam Bushman, have done nothing to any other race negative in any way at any time in my life. And I'm not going to take responsibility for Adam's transgression, so to speak. Am I sad about those mistakes America made? Yes. It's a dark chapter in our history. It's wrong. I pray we never repeat it. At the same time, I'm not going to take the blame and I'm not going to feel guilty. I'm going to stand up as a good, honest, hardworking white man and say, I look at the character of people, and that's what counts. And I hope we can all move forward and do the same. And I would wish government and the mainstream press could have that same attitude. I'll tell you a little story about when I was in Phoenix a couple of days ago that might hammer home the point. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Many of you have heard me talk about my vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land. The Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
So Sam Bushman is wishing we could get past racial tension in America. Race ought to be a non-factor, but it's becoming front and center sad again. With the mainstream press and government stirring the pot, they're making race, well, they're going back to the former days when race was a bigger deal. But I don't believe race is the big problem they want you to believe that it is, and most Americans literally aren't racist. And I would submit to you that, you know what, there are people that are racist, that are intentionally racist. There are people that are racist that don't really mean to be because they don't understand what racial tension or racism really is. And then there's people that aren't really racist at all, but they may be dubbed so by the mainstream press or labeled such. Let me give you an example. I'm not a racist. But I do hang out with a guy by the name of James Edwards, who everybody claims is a racist. And so by association, I'm a racist also. The problem is James isn't a racist at all. But that's what the mainstream press wants you to believe. They call him a white nationalist. What does that mean? He is white. That's true. He does believe in America. Is that a nationalist? If you believe in America, are you a nationalist? And if you're white, are you a racist? And if you're a white nationalist, is that a label that then puts you in the camp of what with whom, right? That's the problem. I believe James Edwards is a good, honest gentleman who has in the past worked with people of all races, very successfully so, and wants to preserve his heritage and his culture and has the right to speak out and do that. And he shouldn't be criticized for it at all. But nevertheless, that's just my opinion. I also believe that in America, you know what? James Edwards and others ought to be able to say whatever they choose. You can agree or disagree. What you shouldn't do is put labels and try to ratchet up the racial tension over it. But that's what's being done. All right, I digress. Let me tell you a story about the other day. I was in Phoenix with a bunch of students from high school. And we were talking about alcohol as a key issue because some people are saying, hey, we got to have prohibition again. Others are saying, no, we shouldn't. These students are learning to debate the issues of the day. And that related to a bigger discussion about legalizing marijuana, etc. Well, one kid made a comment. He said, hey, man, if you really want to, you know, stop all the problems, you got to keep the beer away from the Mexicans. Now, to me, that was a very racist statement. It's somehow this idea that, hey, Mexicans with alcohol are worse than anybody else with alcohol. You got to give, make sure the Mexicans don't have beer. Well, Richard Mack and I said, wait, stop. That's a racist statement. But the kid goes, no, it ain't. I'm Mexican. So let me get this straight. If a Mexican makes comments about keeping the beer away from the Mexicans, it's okay. But if I were to say the same statement, then it would be racist, right? I say wrong. The very idea that you make derogatory generalizations about a group based on race is racist. I don't care if you're part of that group or not. It's a stereotype. It's an overgeneralization. And it's wrong. And it's not fair to a given race. Just because they happen to be from a certain heritage, then all of a sudden, hey, you know, you couldn't put alcohol in their hands. Okay, so we criticize this Mexican for being racist. But he somehow believed because he was Mexican and he was criticizing Mexicans that it was okay. It's not okay at all. See, whenever one race can do or say something that another race cannot do or say, you know that you've got a divisionary racist problem going on. Okay, and so the debate was about prohibition. In other words, the illegal or legal status of alcohol. And bringing race into that discussion has no place. All Americans should want freedom to choose. And all Americans should want less disaster in lives from alcohol. Those are both good goals. How do we accomplish those? And that's what the discussion was about. And color of one's skin has nothing to do with it. But this Mexican kid made a racist statement about Mexicans, but he felt like because he was a Mexican, it wasn't racist. But if I, a white guy, were to say it, it would be racist. See, we in America have a misunderstanding about what racism really is. All right, am I a racist? Is Sam Bushman a racist? Well, let me just tell you that I met an African gentleman because he was a waiter at my table at a restaurant. How do I know he was from Africa? Because I asked him where he was from, and he told me. He said, I'm from South Africa. He had a wonderful accent. He spoke English quite well. In other words, I understood everything he said, but he had an accent. And because he had an accent, that's why I asked him where he was from, and I asked him how he liked America, and he's been here like, I can't remember, 5 years or something, and he's going to college here, and he's very educated. And his English was great. Yeah, he had an accent. You could tell he wasn't from like the South or something. But you could also tell that he was cultured, that he had an education. He spoke very well. And he talked about the universities, and he talked about that he's working on an engineering degree. And anyway, very delightful conversation. When we got done with that conversation, me and Kurt walked away. And I decided to conduct a personal experiment. I said to Kurt, I said, listen, that person from South Africa, that gentleman, and I assume it was a male because he sounded like a male, okay? I know in this transgender world, you can't even assume that anymore, can you? But I assumed that this person was a male. A very nice gentleman, very cultured, very educated, and I could tell he had an accent, so I asked him where he was from, and I was told South Africa. Good. Now, I don't know if this is a white guy or a black guy from South Africa, And on a personal level, I don't even care because he was a nice gentleman. He was a great server at the restaurant. He's working on an engineering degree. Okay, he's certainly not got a glass ceiling anywhere that I could tell. He certainly, as far as I could tell, deserved all the educational opportunities that he could get. He was very intelligent, very articulate, very respectful, very kind, very appreciative, a great server. And I instantly made friends with him and felt a kinship with the guy because he was nice. Because he seemed to be grateful for all that he had and all that he was and all that he was working to become. And I was just thinking, man, that's the genius of America. This guy can come here from South Africa. The sky's the limit. He works hard and he gets somewhere. And man, good for him. And so then I decided to conduct an experiment. And the experiment I conducted is I said, hey, Kurt, that guy was well-educated. The guy was awesome. I liked him. By the way, what color is he? And I didn't see. Now, the critics would say, see, Sam, there you go again. That just proves you're a racist. And my response is, no, I submit to you that it proves that I'm not a racist. Because I just told you that I made an assessment on this gentleman based on all that I could know. I heard his voice. I shook his hand. And I had interactions and conversation with him. And I told you that I had a kinship with this gentleman. I felt like he was a nice guy. I felt like he was living the dream. In other words, the sky was the limit in America. He was grateful for what he had. I felt a kinship with him. I thought he was fantastic. He was working hard. He had a vision of his future. I was impressed. Well, so then I said, okay, this guy's a friend of mine. Why? Because. I just told you why. All these reasons. Then I said to Kurt, is this guy black or white? Because I wanted to know. Kurt said, well, he's black. I said, okay. Interesting fact to know at the end of my assessment. However, does it change how I feel about this gentleman? No, it does not. One iota. Why would it? I still say the guy was very kind to me. The guy was very educated and very cultured. The guy had great English. The guy was grateful to be in America and have the opportunities laid out in front of him. He was obviously grabbing the bull by the horns because he was working hard at a restaurant while he worked on an engineering degree. Hey, that's starting from the ground up. That's working hard. That's getting it done. But it's also not settling for less. He's not blaming any of his problems on anybody else. He's not talking about color or race. He didn't treat me any less because I was white and he was black. He knew that, but I didn't. I had no idea. And I don't really care except for my experiment. By his voice, because he had a South African accent, I don't know him in his native language. I heard him speak English. And I don't know the difference between a black person speaking English with an African accent, whether they're black or they're white. I have no idea. And I don't care. And the reason I tell you about this experience is because they would call me a racist. I would say that could not be further from the truth. Racism, a sad tale in America. And if the mainstream press and government would quit stirring the pot and dividing us all, we got to reject their divide and conquer tactics, ladies and gentlemen. And we got to stand together as Americans. This is indeed Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So this racism issue is frustrating me. It's ridiculous, okay? Anytime you stand up for anything, you're a racist. Anytime you stand up for Christian principles, you're a racist. You're a hater. And I'm done with this stuff. Donald Trump's taking off the gloves, and good for him for doing it. I don't agree with him a whole lot on many things, but I will say this. We need to support all that is good and right and honorable and reject all that is wrong. Okay? It's that simple. It's that clear. It's that basic. It's that fundamental. Congratulations to Mr. and Mr. Kurt Crosby for their 34th year wedding anniversary. Good for them. It's a good thing and it's right. Poll, 72% of Americans say that the country's not as great as it once was. In many cases, they're right. But I don't want to focus on that. Let's talk about where America's great, and that's why I launched into the racism monologue. Sam launches into a 7-second monologue for the day to reject racism and to follow up with personal experiences. Okay? I challenge the mainstream press to have me on about race. And let's talk about how we can get past race. How we can focus on the content of one's character. How we can focus on the opportunities that America can provide all people. How can we use immigration to be an appropriate discussion? Not a way to divide. See, they want to say either you support illegal immigrants and you call them undocumented immigrants, or you can say illegal aliens. See, they want to divide us. How can we change America's policy to bring in the people that want to be here for the right reasons, reject people who want a handout or who want to do America harm, and how do we appropriately deal with the flood of people who want to come here? Is it wrong to want to slow it down to a sustainable, appropriate level that we can handle? I don't think so. That's not racist. That's not hating the immigrant or hating anybody else. Is it wrong to say that you ought to come here legally and legalized, or people who are willing to obey the law shouldn't be penalized and trumped, pardon the pun, by those who want to come illegally? Is that a wrong statement? See, I don't think so. Right, I've had it with this stuff. They want to say we're haters on everything. Anything we stand up for, we're haters. We're racist. We're this. We're that. We're bigots. We're homophobes. And it just goes on, and I'm done with it. And the mainstream press is responsible for it. There's a new poll out. They say Carly would beat Hillary head-to-head in a matchup. It's probably true. But again, this is propaganda to promote Carly. I bet Rand Paul would beat Hillary in a matchup, too. There's a lot of people that would. Trump says that he's boycotting Fox News. Trump boycotts Fox News. Nixes his appearance on cable network for the foreseeable future. All right. Fox News talker hits Trump's private parts is the next headline. See, what's the value of all this? Why is Fox striking back at Trump? Why doesn't Fox just humbly go, we're sorry to see that he doesn't believe how fair and balanced we are? We wish him well. Well, Cheryl Chumley, WorldNet Daily, writes an article about Donald Trump. Rich Lowry is the Fox guy in the news, okay? And Rich Lowry is a columnist for National Review that was on Fox. He went on the network's Kelly Files to say that, hey, Trump was completely torn apart by Carly Fiorina in the previous debate. In fact, the billionaire had his, quote, balls cut off. Specifically, Lowry said, Carly cut his balls off with the precision of a surgeon, and he knows it. Now, that's the problem here. Then Megyn Kelly acted in shock. What did you just say? You can't say that, she said. Trump, meanwhile, took to Twitter to press the Communications Commission to fine Lowry. He wrote, incompetent Rich lost it on Fox News. He should not be allowed on TV and he should be fined by the FCC. Lowry quickly responded on Twitter. Man, you can dish it out, but you really, really can't take it. Fox News is not subject to the FCC obscenity rules because they're a cable network and they don't fall under the purview of the FCC. Now, Lowry was referred to as one of the dumbest talking heads by Trump. But as WorldNet Daily previously reported, Trump says Fox News has been treating me very unfairly and therefore I've decided that I won't be doing any more Fox interviews for the foreseeable future. Now, Fox says that the reason Trump's so mad is because he was supposed to be on the O'Reilly Factor and got canceled, and that's his beef. The bottom line here, ladies and gentlemen, I don't really care. But I will say this. I'm not going to defend the battle where someone's talking dirty about each other. I don't support the insults that Trump gives to people. I don't support the insults that they give Trump back. I think the fighting, the Hatfields and McCoy idea, is a serious problem. And I think it's not good for America at all. So I personally am rejecting this whole battle. But I will say this. I don't disagree with Trump to say the mainstream press is out of control. Why are they having this big old fight with Donald Trump? Donald Trump is the front runner in the Republican primary for president of the United States right now. Okay? He is. And you would think somehow, some way, that Fox would be fair and balanced enough to keep that in mind. And when Trump hurls an insult to Fox, to Megyn Kelly, to who knows who, the next Johnny Come Lately, that they would look at it and say, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And just say, you know what, I feel sad that Trump, you know, is so rude to Megyn. Megyn could have picked the moral high ground. But now Trump has on this so-called pundit who then speaks ill of Donald Trump, does so in a very salacious way, and then Megyn acts horrified as if it wasn't planned. Okay? She knew full well what was going to happen, folks. I know enough about the media to where I guarantee you Fox News was not shocked or surprised. And if they were shocked and surprised, why didn't Kelly tell the guest, you know what, you're out of here if this continues? Fox News talker hits Trump's private parts. Rich Lowry. He's just a columnist for National Review, right? Now, I agree that Cardi Fiorina really took it to Trump. I agree with that. But what we need to do is turn the discussion back to policy. Now you say, Sam, you're just rambling from subject to subject, my friend. What are you talking about? No, I'm not. This racism discussion, this discussion about ideologies in America, this discussion about Trump and the division there really relates to the whole point that I'm making on the radio today with my monologues, and that is this. Why are we allowing ourselves to be divided on almost every fundamental issue that we must have at least respect relating to have a country? In other words, if the people who are here legally, the citizens, and the people who are here illegally have a divide, and the politicians are backing both sides, if men and women have a divide because instead of being complementary, male and female, we become adversarial, male and female. See, we create a divide that just destroys the family, strikes at the very heart of the family. If we divide on Republican and Democrat, black and white, right, conservative and liberal, and we divide on all these topics, how can America ever stand if it's divided on so many core, fundamental, critical moral issues, right? That's the battle here. And whether we use the racism example, whether we use the Trump / Fox News example, whether we use the Republican and Democrat example, the male and female example, I mean, I could go on and on for the divisions in America, right? The rich versus the poor example, the digital divide, those who have technology and those who don't, the economic divide, the educational divide. I could go on forever about the divisions, and none of them, I'm going to say that again, none of them are helpful. None of them restore the republic. None of them focus on solutions or bringing people together. If we're going to turn this nation around, it starts with the rejection of divisions, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. and it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season, like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, the main point I've got today, ladies and gentlemen, is if we are to save America, we must reject division, okay? I don't care what fault line we want to talk about. If we're going to save America, we've got to reject this division, this naysaying, this Hatfield and McCoy idea that we hate everybody that disagrees with us, or we're going to just feud and fundamentally argue and waste valuable time and resources on what could bring people together and build America, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't want the racial divide. I don't want the male and female divide. I want to find out how we can make families strong again. When, after all, what is society? Society is a group of families, right? I'm telling you right now, our society will never be stronger than the families that make up that society. After all, family is the fundamental unit of our society. All right, if we are to save America, we must reject division. And I've got a story to kind of hammer the point home. Ready? I got it on Facebook from a friend of mine. I don't want to say their name because I don't have permission, so I'm not trying to deny anybody credit. I don't know who wrote the story. We've heard different revisions of this story many times, but here it goes. The carpenter. Once upon a time, two brothers who lived on adjoining farms fell into conflict. It was the first serious rift in their farming, side by side, sharing machinery, grain, work. It went well for 40 years without a hitch. But then the long time collaboration fell apart. It began by a small misunderstanding, and then it grew into a major rift, and then it exploded into an exchange of bitter words, followed by weeks of silence. One morning, there was a knock on the farmer's door. John opened the door to find a carpenter with a toolbox. The carpenter said, "I need a few days' work. Perhaps you'd have a small few jobs here or there that I might be able to do for you and help out?" "Yes," said the older brother, "I do have a job for you. Look across the creek at that farm. That's my neighbor. In fact, it's my younger brother. Last week, there was a meadow between us. Last week, he took his backhoe, and he took it to the levee, and now there's literally a creek between us." "Well, he may have done this to spite me," said the older brother, "but you see that pile of lumber over there by the barn? I'm going to one-up him. What I want you to do is see that lumber by the barn. I want you to take that lumber and build a fence. That way I won't need to see his place or his face anymore." The carpenter said, "I see. I understand the situation. Help me get the post hole digger, and I'll be able to get my supplies together and do a job that I'm sure will please you." The older brother had to go to town, so he helped the carpenter get everything he needed for the day and then took off to town. The carpenter worked hard all that day, measuring, sawing, nailing. And about sunset, when the farmer returned, the carpenter had just finished his job. The farmer's eyes opened wide. His jaw dropped. There was no fence there at all. Rather, there was a bridge. A bridge that stretched from one side of the creek to the other. Oh, it was a nice piece of work, too. The bridge had handrails and all. And the neighbor, his younger brother, was coming towards him with his hand outstretched. "You are quite a fellow to build this bridge, after all I've said and done," said the younger brother. And the brothers stood at each end of the bridge. And then they met in the middle, taking each other's hands. They turned to see the carpenter hoist his toolbox on his shoulder and begin to walk away. But the older brother said, "Hey, wait, can't you stay a couple of days? I've got other projects I'd like you to do for me. Your work is great." "I'd love to stay on," said the carpenter, "but I have many more bridges to build." That's the story. And then it says this at the end. Great stuff. I don't know who wrote it. I'm not trying to deny anybody credit. But this is the example that I'm talking about. How do we bury the hatchet, so to speak? How do we reject old conflict? How do we reject racism? How do we reject this angst that has grown between man and woman? How do we reject this idea that it must be liberal or conservative or black or white or right or wrong or left or right or Republican or Democrat or whatever the case? How do we just get rid of all that? How do we accept people for the content of their character? All right. "I'd love to stay on," the carpenter said, "but I have many more bridges to build." Remember this, ladies and gentlemen, God won't ask what kind of car you drive, but he will ask how many people you helped get where they needed to go. God will not ask about the square footage of your house, but he will ask how many people you welcomed into your home. God won't ask about how many clothes you have in your closet or how expensive they are. However, he will ask how many people you helped to clothe, right? God won't ask how many friends you had, but he will ask how many people to whom you were a friend, a true friend. God won't ask in what neighborhood you live, but he will ask how you treated your neighbors. God won't ask about the color of your skin, but he will ask about the content of your character. God won't ask why it took you so long to seek salvation, but he will lovingly welcome you in and provide a mansion in heaven for you if you keep his commandments. There you have it, folks. Okay? I want to reject the divisions in America. And I'm telling you, if we're going to save this nation, we must set aside our differences, have respect for one another, regardless of our differences, and work together to restore the republic and the traditions of our founders. The founders didn't agree on much either, believe it or not. They had, well, battles on just about every subject. They had debates about on everything. Right? The Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers document a lot of that. Letters back and forth between the founders and the founders' wives document a lot of that. They didn't agree. In fact, they had bitter divide on many things. But ladies and gentlemen, they were humble enough to come together to create the greatest country on the face of the earth with new ideas, ideas that they can look towards a great creator for guidance, not government. That the whole purpose of government was to bless the lives of man through protection of their God-given or creator-given, unalienable, meaning you can't take them away, rights. And the whole purpose of government was to lay down a system of checks and balances to prevent government from running amok, from taking too much power, from biting the very hand that fed it. And it was a lot of work by the founders, and they had a lot of bitter differences, but they actually were able to set aside those differences and come together to create the greatest country on the face of the earth. And my call, my clarion call to each of you is, can we be humble enough in the traditions of the founders to do the same? Can we? That's the first question. The second question is, will we? Because of course we can. I don't know if we will. I pray that we will. I pray that we can look at the bigger picture. You know, if you look at a painting and you see each stroke of the painting and you look at it up really close, it just seems like a series of confusion. And it doesn't make any sense. And each stroke, when focused on with laser-like attention, becomes so big and so ugly and so confusing that it doesn't make any sense. It's like, what's the value of that painting? But if you step back, pretty soon those paint strokes join together, fuse together, and become something beautiful. The point is, you got to get the big picture. You got to develop a fundamental understanding of what made America great and what can make it great again, and how you as an individual fit into that. Is it just an abstract idea that I'm talking about? No. I'm talking about how you personally live your life and how I personally, I'm not trying to make it a you thing, how I personally live my life. Am I going to focus on divisions? Am I going to be filled with hate? Am I going to reject God's clarion call to me to repent? Or am I going to embrace that? Am I going to spend time doing my very best to clean the inner vessel and work on solutions? That's what this whole program is about. It's about setting aside all these divisions. It's about coming together. It's about, hey, let's change the narrative the mainstream press has. Let's reject the go negative all the time plan and go positive. Let's focus on the blessing that America has brought to everyone, to all humankind worldwide. This country has blessed every nation, blessed everybody on the planet for a couple of hundred years. How do we make sure that we retain that legacy? How do we make sure that we don't go negative and miss the big picture because we see some paint strokes that don't make sense because sometimes we're too close up? How do we enjoy the big picture? How do we paint a Birmingham? How do we work on a way to restore, to repent, to repair, to come together, to be grateful? And how do we turn to a greater source of authority than government for solutions? I think it can be done. I pray every day for that to be the case. I hope we the people are wise enough to step back and look at the whole picture. The painting as it was intended by our founders and our creator. Thanks so much for listening. Without you, I wouldn't even be here. Hopefully, we can weave into the tapestry of America hope for the future. I beg for your support and your assistance. LibertyRoundtable.com. We the people can restore America. This nation shall endure.